Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's good to be here early on Sunday morning, isn't it? Amen. Tap your neighbor and say, Happy Resurrection Sunday. To God be the glory. God bless you and God keep you as we're welcoming even more worshipers into the house of the Lord. We are grateful. Give God a praise offering. We have a full house of worshipers here tonight, or this morning, I should say. And to those who have already been blessed by song, we thank this choir. Didn't they do a great job this morning? As I was meditating upstairs in the back and listening to Wanda and the choir bless the people through song, we must never forget that God is enthroned in the praises of His people. When we praise Him, we are lifting Him up as God, as Lord. That should be the object of our praise. And when we do that, God inhabits the praises of His people. We're also grateful for the effectual fervency of prayer. For the Bible says that it availeth much. And so this morning, we are also thankful for this host of baptismal candidates. Somebody give God a praise offering for all of these individuals. So now that we've praised, we've prayed, and now let's preach the gospel of Jesus. Won't you stand with me and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to read one verse for you, verse number 17, chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible reads as follows. We'll give another moment to ensure that everyone has reached the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Someone say new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
I want you to say, read that with me in responsive form.
Therefore,
if anyone is in Christ,
he is a new creation.
All things
have passed away.
Behold,
all things
have become new. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the readers and the hearers and the doers of His word. I want that you pray with me on the title of this sermon this morning, The Contradiction of Christ. The Contradiction of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, may the words given, the words written, and the words spoken here today not return void, but may they accomplish that which you have intended. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted. And in the words of the songwriter, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thine eyesight, O Lord. For you are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Hide us behind the cross. Cover us under the blood. Shower down your anointing. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. That all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, Amen,
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 and amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. on this blessed Resurrection Sunday morning, we rise to pay homage and respect to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Every year this time, we pause in humble reflection and grand celebration about the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. There's no other time that is higher in the Christian year than Resurrection Sunday. And we get up early on Sunday morning because the Bible declares that Mary ran to the tomb. And early that morning, she discovered that the body was not there.
Yes. So there is something special and something
wonderful and magnificent and marvelous about the fact that it is getting up Sunday morning.
Yes.
It is Resurrection Sunday morning. And we do come in our finest of attire, in our grandest of clothes, but I hope that our spirit is what's new on the inside, and not just our bonnets, our hats, our ties, our suits, our dresses, and our shoes from DSW, ladies. That we can dress the outside up, but we want to make sure the inside is fresh also. Looking good and smelling good inside, and not just looking good and smelling good on the outside. And so Resurrection Sunday morning is our, as they say in French, the denouement, the apex, if you would, of our year, our liturgical experience. Jesus' birth is indeed a grand celebration, but he was born for one purpose, and that was to become the lamb that was slain. And so on this Sunday morning, I am led not to go to the Gospels, although that is our traditional Resurrection Sunday text, to preach out of Matthew, to preach out of Mark, Luke, and John, to preach out of the Synoptic Gospels or John's topical gospel, and to talk about that great morning when Mary ran to the tomb or found her way to the tomb, and how she was sent by the angel to go back to the disciples and tell him that he whom you for whom you look is no longer here. Amen, somebody. But what I am led to share today is out of one of Paul's epistles in the book of 2 Corinthians. And in this 17th verse, we find a text that I shared with our baptismal candidates when we prepared them for baptism, when we instructed them and helped them to understand the significance and meaning of baptism. To wrestle with our sin and to wrestle with our sin nature. For Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Not just fallen, but fall. As much as we can dress us up, we still fall short. Come on, somebody. And as much as I believe in transformation and the transformational power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, none of us are perfect. All of us are still bearing some burdens. And I said to them on last week when we met and got ready for this day, even if they never sin again against their neighbor, surely and certainly we will never fully attain to all the commandments, statutes, judgments, precepts, and teachings that the Lord, our Savior, has given unto us. And so even in our relationship with God vertically, we still fall short. All of us are imperfect. All of us are bearing the burdens of sin. Deacon Poole, I love to hear him say it, for he says it well in his deep baritone voice, right, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are still made of clay. We are still made of the earth. God took dust of the ground, shaped it into the form of a human being. And Adam, who was the first dirt body, the first dirt man, in Hebrew, the the word Adam literally means earth or dirt. Adam did not become living until God breathed the breath of life into his body. And from there, Adam and Eve went on to fall short of God's glory. And ever since the Edenic experience, we have been falling short of God's glory. It doesn't mean we're not striving. We're striving to do better, striving to be better, striving to walk better, striving to talk better, striving to live better, striving to sing better, striving to pray better, striving to do what the Lord has called us to do. But we still fall short. And it is on this Sunday morning particularly that you ought to give God some praise, for when you fall short, he still has shown you grace and mercy. Amen, amen, and amen. He still sheds his grace and his mercy upon us. When man falls short, God always stoops down to pick us up. But we've got to want to walk upright, talk upright, live upright. We have to want to do better in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. And so now that I've got you captive on Easter Sunday morning or Resurrection Sunday morning, amen, I want you to remember the words of Paul to the Christians in Corinth, that this text reminds us about the renewing power of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man or any woman, anybody, anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Some texts call it a creature. A new creation, creature, whatever you want to call it, is new. Amen, somebody. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. I want to talk about the contradiction of Christ, of how he makes old things become new. It seems contradictory that the Lord we serve, not that he's able to do it, but the contradiction is in us. We are the enigma, that one moment someone can see the old us, and in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, somebody can see the new us. And don't let them try to remind you of the old you, because even though you were the old you, you know what the Lord has done for you. And if nobody else knows, you know. So don't let the devil try to put you back in the old you when he has created a new you inside of you. And so I want to talk about that interesting contradiction. Not that there's a contradiction in Christ. There is no contradiction in Christ. The contradiction is in Christ working it in us to become new. And so I want to share these three words with you today, and I'll take my seat. The first word I want to talk about is location. Second word I want to talk about is condition. And then the third word I want to talk about is the contradiction. And so if you would first allow me to share with you about this word location. If you look in the text, and before we get to verse 17, look at verse number 15. It says, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. If that's not a Resurrection Sunday text, I don't know what is. And he died for all, not just some of us, he died for all of us. Even though I know a few folk who really do think he only died for them. Amen. That's another sermon for another day. But he died for everybody. He died for all. For the text reminds us that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care if you've been sinning for all of your life. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. I don't care if you call on when you were 5 or 12. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says, Paul says, for if you profess the Lord Jesus, if you believe that he is the Lord, if you confess it with your mouth, mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ephesians tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I told these folk last week that there's nothing you can do to save you. Baptism does not save you. Your profession of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves you. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and you confess it with your mouth and you rebuke the devil with your mouth and say, devil, you are a liar, for you are not the Lord of creation, but Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. Do I have any saved folk here today? Any saved folk here today? And I'm not just saying that for show. I'm talking about when you are on your job and nobody is around. Are you confessing the Lord on your job? When you are in the medical doctor, in the hospital, and the doctor has told you you've got cancer. Are you confessing the name of the Lord when the doctor tells you you have cancer? Nobody is in the room but you and God. And you're saying, Lord, you are Lord over my cancer. You are Lord over my foreclosure. You are Lord over my addictions. You are Lord. I need someone to confess that Jesus is Lord over all of their challenges, travails, trauma, and tragedies in their lives. Aaron and Tiffany shared with me just a few days ago that one of their dear friends, a pastor in Newark, New Jersey, Pastor Hughes, is that right, Aaron? Pastor Donald Hughes was shot to death in his home on what apparently was the Good Friday going into Saturday. Brother Pastor Hughes was here with Aaron and Tiffany when Aaron celebrated his anniversary in ministry. A burglar, at least we believe, broke in with an AK-47, shot him one time in front of his wife and his seven children. Now, how do we make any sense of that tragedy? And yet, I encourage Tiffany and Aaron and the wife to keep professing that Jesus is Lord, even in the most traumatic and tragic of situations. Jesus, you are Lord. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what's going to come out of this, but you are Lord. You are Lord over this tragedy. You are Lord over this trauma. You are Lord over this sadness. You are Lord over this catastrophe. I'm not going to let the devil rob me of the joy that the Lord rose early on Sunday morning. The reason we celebrate Resurrection Sunday is because when the devil rears his ugly head like he did in the Hughes family, somebody's got to remind the devil that Jesus is Lord. Jesus has risen. He shall reign. He is Lord over this tragedy. He shall get the glory. I don't know how he's going to get it. I don't know when he's going to get it, but he gets the glory. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. If you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, I believe that there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. I believe that there's no valley too low, no mountain too high, no river too wide that the God we serve cannot cross you over, lift you over, bring you out of it, bring you through it, lift you in out of it, deliver you from it, save you out of it, for he is Lord. That's all you can say in that kind of tragedy. Lord, be God in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the condition, the location, is what I want to share with you first. For if any man or woman be in Christ, you've got to be in Christ. When I was thinking about the meaning of prepositions, my mind, in preparation for the sermon, my mind went back to my Spanish teacher in high school who began to teach me the prepositional phrases that helped glue Spanish sentences together. And so the preposition which means to, vamos a la tienda, we're going to the store, right? To or lejos de, which is away from. La árbol es lejos de para la iglesia. The tree is away from the church. Or the word enfrente de, which means in front of. And so these prepositional statements denote location. They're either from or away, or Baja, which means under, Baja California, under the state of California. And so it denotes location. But the one thing that stuck with me, whether it was a or con, which means with or to, but the one prepositional phrase that stuck with me from Miss Meacham in 11th grade was in. And the reason that stuck with me, because you can be away from something, you can be next to something, you can be under something, you can be above something, but it's a whole different thing to be in something. Come on, somebody. And when I think about my relationship with the Lord Jesus, I like the statement that Paul uses, that if any man be in Christ, he didn't say under Christ, he didn't say away from Christ, he didn't say next to Christ, he said if any man be in Christ, you're not getting the message, are you? If you are in Christ, I like that, because where you are, that's where God is. I like that statement, because it means that when my praises go up, God steps into my praise. He's not just next to me praising. He's not just above me praising. He's not just under me praising, but he's inside of me. Anybody got the Lord inside of you? Anybody dwelled with the Holy Ghost on the inside? I heard someone say something on the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a change. In. If any man be in Christ. Because I know some folk who just next to Christ. I know some folk who just hanging out on the back end of Christ. But I need some folk who totally committed. You're in this thing. You're not just half-stepping. You're in it. No matter what comes your way, I'm in Christ. I'm not with them. I'm not with him. I'm not with her. But I am in Christ. For Christ I live. And for Christ I die. I am in Christ. And Paul says, if any man and any woman be in Christ, he or she is a new. In Greek, that word is kainos. Kainos. And the word is wonderful in Greek, because it just doesn't mean new. Listen to this. It means fresh. If any man be in Christ, or any woman be in Christ, he or she is a fresh creation. The reason that stuck with me, because I know some folk who have become stale in their spirit. They may once have been fresh when they first got saved, but the tragedies and the traumas of life have robbed them of their freshness. And so now they go through the motions. They come to church, but their spirit is stale. Some of them sing in the choir, but their spirit is stale. Some of them serve on ministries, but their spirit is stale. But I need a fresh spirit. I need someone who knows every day they get up that this is the day that the Lord has made, and
a fresh outpouring, a fresh anointing, a fresh attitude, a fresh walk, a fresh talk. If any man and any woman be in location Christ, they are a new condition. All things have passed away, and behold, all situations, all circumstances, all tragedies, all traumas, all of your sicknesses, all of the backbiting, all of the burdens, all of the heartache, all of the confusion, all of the issues, all of your haters, all of your naysayers, all of your enemies, all things shall become new. I love that statement because it reminds me that God is in the business of taking contradictions and straightening out crooked places and smoothing over rough places. I believe that the God I serve is in the business of taking what wasn't supposed to happen and making it happen. I believe that the God I serve is in the business of taking the impossible and making it possible. I believe that the God I serve is in the business of taking the improbable and making it probable. I believe that the God I serve is in the business of taking those who were kicked to the curb and bringing them back inside. I believe that the God I serve is in the business of taking the last and making them first, taking the first and making them last. I believe that what goes around is going to come back around. I believe it in the depths of my heart that God can take what is an oxymoron, what is a contradiction, what is an enigma, something that's not supposed to happen. He can make your old stuff become new. How do I know? Because I was once sinking in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Verily, verily, stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he reached way down, picked me up, turned me around, put my feet on solid ground. I believe. I believe it in the depths of my heart that God not only changes my location, he not only changes my condition, but he takes my contradictions. Because the devil thought he had my Jesus when he nailed him on the cross. But when Joseph of Arimathea took him down, put him in a borrowed tomb, they thought that was the end of Jesus. And he stayed there all night Friday night, all night Saturday night. But the old preachers would say, but early Sunday morning, somewhere between midnight and sunrise, my Jesus, your Jesus, our Jesus, got up, got up, got up with all power. And he reminds me that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he lives. I know it in the depths of my heart. I know he lives. Because he lives inside of me. I want folk to understand this Sunday morning what the Lord has done for you. If you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me, you don't know like I know how he set me free. You don't know like I know how he brought me out. You don't know like I know how he built a bridge over my doubts. You don't know like I know how he opened doors that no man can shut. You don't know like I know what he's done in my life. And I don't know like you know what he's done in your life. And so on this Resurrection Sunday morning, I just stop by to remind somebody, wherever you are currently located, you can get a change of address. Whatever you woke up feeling this morning, some of y'all tried to dress it up. Some of y'all tried to perfume it up. But until he changes you on the inside, he'll change your location. He'll change your condition. But he'll also take your contradictions. And that's what I love most about him. When your enemies thought they had you, hey, you just remind them of what Jesus, your bright and morning star, did for you on this Sunday. He got up with all power in heaven and in earth. That is the crux of our religious belief. That is the essence of our religious identity. That Jesus conquered death. And that God raised him from the dead. And even when the devil's trying to kill you, kill your spirit, kill your body, kill your mind, you remind him that if you couldn't do it to Jesus, you showed up, not going to do it to me. Satan, you are a liar. Get out of my family. Get out of my church. Get out of my body. Get out of my community. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That is the essence of our faith. And my prayer this morning is that someone would hear that word. That God wants to change your location. He wants to change your condition. And if you let him have your contradictions, he'll change those also. In the blessed name of Jesus. Someone give the Lord a praise offering on this Sunday morning. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me extend an invitation to discipleship. The deacons and the deaconesses and the clergy are going out into the congregation like a net. This is what we call fishing time. We're fishing for souls. The sermon is intended to cast the net. And we hope that God draws some souls into the net. You're here today. You're here today. Because of, I believe and I pray, your belief in Jesus. But if someone is here today and they don't know the Lord for themselves, no better time to get to know Him than on Resurrection Sunday. Listen, my philosophy is you got up early this morning, you got all dressed up, you might as well come on and take the final step and say, Lord, I surrender. Now, there are a bunch of folk here to see the baptismal candidates. And if you don't have a church home, don't just say that's good for my niece or my sister or my brother. What's good for them is good for you also. So I want to speak to the family, particularly of the baptismal candidates. Because even though baptism doesn't save, it is a statement of belief and of faith. And someone here today needs to take that step of faith. Maybe you don't have a church home. And God is saying to you, I know you've been looking for the perfect church, but there is no such thing. And so, whether it's this one or another, if you know the word is going forth, and you know that the preacher and the leadership and the people are doing their best to love God, then you ought to say, Lord, I want to be a part of that body. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That means come to church. If I can put it bluntly, come to temple. Come to worship. You can have devotion and worship alone, but it is good for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. It is good for that to happen. And if you know I'm talking to you today and you don't have a church home, you're already a Christian, to God be the glory, but you don't have a church home, I need somebody. I need someone to step out and say, on this day, I surrender. I'm looking for membership. But more importantly than membership is relationship. It is relationship with God. And so today, I need someone who says, even above the membership, I want to be close to the Lord. I want to be in the Lord. I'm tired of being next to Him, just hanging out. When I need Him, I call Him. When I don't need Him, I don't. But when you're in Him, you're in it. And He's in you. In the good and the bad, the ugly and the pretty things of life, the ups and the downs. And if that is for you, the relationship part, I beg of you to come today. I exhort you, I cajole you to come. Step out of that pew. The choir is going to sing in a moment, and let the Holy Spirit continue to minister to you through song. And say, I want to know the Lord today for myself. Go ahead and sing quiet. Is there one today? Is there one today? Is there one today? In the name of Jesus. Is there one today? Maybe back there in the chapel. On the right or the left.